Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good for this May 9th, 2023, 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
We're joined right now by our good friend, Mr. Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. How are things guys doing over there?
We're doing good over here, Paul. Our next conversation, the first topic we have for this hour, Melissa and I are going to dive into, is the 24% of us have at least one conversation about weather every day. So we're going to get the ours out of the way right now. We're going to go ahead and take care of that right now, Paul.
That's right. Yeah, don't wait around for that.
Yeah. We can check and mark that off our list for right away for today. What has Mother Nature got in store for us?
Yeah, this is going to be a continued kind of a dreary start out there with the low clouds and fog shrouding the area this morning. But it looks like we'll get into some mix of clouds and sun as we get more to the midday afternoon. So some of that is starting to brighten up here later half of the day today. 73 for the high, 49, partly cloudy tonight. And then Wednesday, mix of clouds and sun, and still mild for the area. We do still see highs in the upper 70s tomorrow. 55 Wednesday night. Starting to see a shower, thunder shower chance late Wednesday night, 55. And then some of those scattered shower storm chances coming back in as well. A isolated chance for that Thursday, 78, partly sunny otherwise. Shower storm chances pick up Thursday night, Friday, with highs at 77 Friday. Showers, a few thunder showers Saturday, 71. Showers that linger into early Sunday, especially 62. And then mid-70s, some sun Monday, maybe another shower chance late on Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Paul gave us everything there, but where to buy galoshes? I don't even. Yeah. Can you even buy them anymore? I don't know where you find galoshes anymore. No. Paul,
That's
appreciate
great.
It. Appreciate you, Paul. Thanks for the time. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, you got it.
Have a good morning.
You too.
Best in the business right there. Our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trombley and the gang. Love to hear from Paul. That's great. It is going to be a little bit rainy, but that's just going to make everything greener.
Everything green, yes.
Where do you find galoshes anymore? Can you even buy galoshes?
Yeah.
You got to be able
they
to buy galoshes.
They have them at Ace Hardware.
They got to have them somewhere.
Yeah, Ace Hardware.
One of the better words in the English language.
They just don't call them galoshes anymore.
I know, but I'm bringing it back. I love that word, galoshes.
That's I know, a it's a fun word.
It's a great word.
That and culottes.
Oh, good. Another good one. Yes, I like that. Sheboygan. I just throw it out there. Just throw it in there. We were just talking weather with our good friend Paul. We'll do that again tomorrow and all week long as we get those live updates from the best in the business, the Weather Eye Weather Gang. A lot of people will tell you they hate making small talk, like chit-chatting about weather, and yet a lot of us can't quit it. We can't help ourselves.
Well, sometimes you have to.
This survey doesn't get into this, but one of my first thoughts reading this and just doing a little bit of homework on it and everything is how much human beings cannot handle silence, especially if it's strangers. You would think that we would be more comfortable with silence among strangers because, well, what are we going to talk about? We don't know this person. But actually, one of the greatest signs of being comfortable with somebody is what?
Silence.
Being able to have that quiet moment.
Being able to have it without it being awkward.
Yes, and you don't feel like you have to fill the time, you know, that kind of thing. It's interesting. It's kind of just, you just take a step back, and it's just kind of an interesting thing that we human beings do, I think it's kind of interesting. So, and then going into this actual topic, in a new poll, 24% of Americans say that they have at least one conversation about the weather every day. 3% admit to talking about the weather multiple times a day. Hopefully we're different people. Hopefully you're not, hey, Charlie, this weather, huh? And like 2 hours later, this weather.
Well, sometimes you can do that, though, because the weather changes multiple times a day here in Wisconsin.
It's a very good point. They give us that in Wisconsin, that's for sure. There's plenty to talk about with the weather. 48% of people say that they'll find themselves talking about it at least once a week. And only 5% of people claim that they never talk about the weather. Those people are lying to themselves. Everybody talks about the weather at least one point, maybe not in a day, but in a week, I would say.
Probably. I mean, you might just even be an offhanded comment, man, that sun's bright today.
Right. 25% of Americans say that their daily plans are often affected by the weather forecast. And interestingly enough, 25% of people claim human meteorologists are more accurate than computers and algorithms when it comes to forecasting the weather. Only 10% say computers are more accurate than humans. It is a little of both there, though. You know, I hope people realize that.
Well, yeah,
that
humans
you know?
Are using computers yeah. to, like, radar and whatnot to see what's happening up in the skies.
The good meteorologists, like our own Paul Trombley and the gang over there, are able to interpret these things so that people like me can understand them.
Right.
And break it down.
Put it into words for that we don't... what does that mean?
Yeah. And that is an art. That is an art. I you know, I've told Paul before. I've told Nikki, anybody that we talk to on the way. I think, look, Jim Cantore. Jim Cantore has got charisma. He's good at what he does. Part of why he's good at what he does is because he genuinely cares about people, cares about the weather and everything. But that guy, he could do a weekly half an hour show if he wanted to about weather and stuff and make it interesting. And I bet it would do okay ratings. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it, you know, would be huge, but it'd be okay. Like it's an art to be able to do this and be able to like do it well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and our weather is gotten, it's changed quite a bit here. I saw a model of climate, the temperature increase of the climate and this was put out by NASA, over the last, I want to say it was the last 100, maybe the last 50 years. But it was interesting because it was just a circle. And then the circle got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it's gotten out to the +2 centigrade. But then it flipped the model on its side.
Oh.
So then you could see the tube of the increase, and it was a funnel that just goes up. On a regular increase.
I don't know. I don't know about anybody else, but I do not want to live in Mad Max world. I don't want to live in that whole that crazy utopia thing and everything. And plus, I don't want to put makeup on. They always got makeup on in those movies and stuff and everything. I don't even know where they get that. Like, there's no water, but there's makeup and hairspray, so they can spike their hair and everything. That's it. 25% of Americans say that their plans can get affected by the weather forecast. 100% of Wisconsinites can say that.
Yeah.
And in a separate poll, people were asked about 45 news outlets, including CNN, Fox News, and the Associated Press, and the most trusted news source of all 45 was the Weather Channel, by far and away. PBS was second.
Wow.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right
on. Way
to
go.
Right on. That's awesome. I think that's really cool. We do not give enough love to PBS.
No,
not nearly enough. A huge shout out to PBS.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for many out there, but I got to think that the majority of us grew up watching some form of public broadcasting television.
Mm-hmm. Or radio.
Or radio. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that, because as a kid, I've talked before about loving Sesame Street and The Muppet Show and Fraggle Rock, all these different, not Fraggle Rock, but Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes.
A lot of the stuff that most, Reading Rainbow, you know, things a lot of us grew up on. And everything. It was also like the radio. Like, my pop would listen to NPR and all that stuff. And there's so many voices that I grew up on that ended up impacting me and influenced me to do this job.
Yeah.
Paul Harvey is probably one of the greatest examples of this. I think Paul Harvey was one of the greatest storytellers I've ever heard in my life.
Mm.
He would talk about things that as a little kid I didn't care about, but because of the way he told the story and his pace, his tone.
It drew you in.
Pulled me in.
Yeah.
That's the rest of the story. and one of the greatest end lines ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Just Paul Harvey,
I remember listening to him, too.
So good.
Really
so good at what he did. Like, PBS, public broadcasting. Any chance I get, I try to put into those funds.
Yeah.
I try to help when they have their campaigns and things.
And the Weather Channel, you know, you can watch it for hours.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you could do away with the advertising, which obviously you can't.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you could, then... I could watch it for hours.
I've had exes that I've lived with make fun of me, but at, like, especially at late at night, if there's nothing on TV, or it used to be I'd watch The Daily Show and then I'd just flip on the Weather Channel after that. And just that would be on until like 5 a.m. or whatever, just as background noise.
Yeah.
But especially because in doing this job, I'm always paying attention to the news and breaking news and waiting for stories and everything and content. The weather is a constant breaking news story.
Pretty much.
It's always something going on.
Happening somewhere
always.
Around the world in weather.
It's pretty interesting. I wanted to maybe we'll save some time for this one because I want to spend a little time with it. The 10 best cities to eat local food and the worst local food city.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to spend some time with that one. So what we'll do is we'll go to our break just a little bit early here. We'll get to that. We'll come back. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, and we'll get into that later in the hour. It's the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James taking you through it here at AM 1320 and 97.5 FM. We are locally grown radio.
Why do we always get this one?
I know, we always get this one. We got to get some more bumpers in there for our birthdays. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. What we're going to do right now is some celebrating. What we encourage you to do is treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. If you are celebrating a birthday today or any days coming up here, get on over there. Let them know it's your birthday. You get a free slice of one of Brian's pies.
And Brian's pies are amazing.
They truly are. Really good stuff. Celebrate with our friends over at Misty's and thank them for us. One of the more original atmospheres you will ever be in with some of the best people you'll ever be around. Mm-hmm. Great food, great place. Head on over to Misty's right now. We have three possible qualifiers here, Melissa. I'm going to need you to give me a 1 through 3.
I'm going to choose 2.
All right. That gives us our qualifier so we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Shonda Tibbetts Engelbright.
Ooh, happy birthday, Shonda.
Shonda, we wish you a fantastic day. I hope it's a good one for you. Also, we want to wish a happy birthday to Tiffany Clevin.
Happy birthday, Tiffany.
Enjoy your day, Tiffany. We hope it's a good day to you. And our qualifier today, Elisa May.
Happy birthday, Elisa.
Oh, that's a beautiful name. Mm-hmm. All these are beautiful names. Yeah. Right? That's great names. Mm-hmm. Elisa, we hope it's a good one for you. Enjoy your day, and you're a qualifier.
Congratulations.
Yeah. We get to move on to some celebrity names real quick. Noah Centineo is 27. He's a Netflix heartthrob from the spy series The Recruit. He's Adam Smasher in Black Adam. He was in To All the Boys I've Loved Before and the sequel, The Perfect Date. Don't know what those are, but he was in them. Okay. Let's see here. Grace Goomer is 37. She's Meryl Streep's daughter. She plays FBI agent Dominica DePiro in Mr. Robot. She was fantastic on that. She was also Halle Berry's Extant. She played Penny, the amazing lizard girl on American Horror Story. She is a really good actor. I don't think a lot of people know that she is Meryl Streep's daughter. And yeah. I really admire that. I don't think people realize how easy it would be to just like, hey, I'm, you know, the greatest actress in the world right now. I'm her kid. Like, right. Give me a job. You know, I mean,
when you do see them side by side, they definitely have a strong resemblance.
The nose, mm-hmm.
Their smile, their nose.
She is. I want to say, like Meryl Streep can do literally anything, mm-hmm. anything you put in front of her. You can make the argument she's the greatest living actor in the world. Like, and there's only so much fight you can put to that.
Uh-huh.
Her daughter's very good. I just don't think she's gotten as many opportunities yet. But mm-hmm. she's young. She has plenty, you know, there's plenty of time there. And
she's been working pretty steady, it looks like.
Yeah. I really liked her on Mr. Robot, but I did not know that she was Meryl Streep's daughter. I just, like, there was something about her face that seemed so familiar to me.
And now she's on a TV show, Dr. Death.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
I don't either.
Don't know that one. But yeah, she's very talented. let's see here. Prince Fielder is 39, former Milwaukee Brewer, drafted and played his early years with the Brewers, played with the Rangers and the Detroit Tigers as well. Prince was one of those big names here in Wisconsin for quite some time. His father, of course, Cecil, played for the Brewers as well. And they are the only father-son combination to each hit 50 home runs in a season. They each had 319 total in their careers.
Mm.
They both finished with the same amount of home runs, 319.
This is my impressed face.
Yeah, that's just crazy, you know, to think about. Like, you don't have to even know sports to be like, well, what are the odds of that happening, you know? It's pretty crazy. Yeah. And quite an interesting guy, too.
Awesome.
Love this lady. Rosario Dawson is 44 today. Great actress. Wonderful actress. She is Osaka in the Mandalorian, and she's going to have her own TV series of that. She, of course, I think she got, I would say her big break was Rent. That was the one that really, she was in Men in Black 2, and she had a nice role in that. She was in Sin City and a bunch of other things. I just love Rosario Dawson's work. I think she's such a bona fide actor.
I think The Mandalorian might be the only thing I've seen her in.
It's her most recent work.
Maybe Sin City. I think I did see that.
She was really good in Sin City. I thought she was very impressive in that. I really liked her in Rent. She's sneaky good in Men in Black, too.
Hmm.
She just really, like, doesn't have a lot of lines, doesn't have a huge, huge part, but she's an integral part of it. And she does, she stole some scenes from Will and Tommy Lee in that movie. let's see here. Ghostface Killa is 53. That, of course, is a rapper. Okay. For those who don't know, I love the idea that that's just the guy's name, though. That's his first name or something. He's with the Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang.
Okay.
One of the greater hip-hop groups of all time. Let's see here. Dave Gahan, the great Dave Gahan, is 61 today. Depeche Mode's lead singer. People Are People, Enjoy the Silence, Policy of Truth, Personal Jesus. There are so many different Depeche Mode songs.
Okay.
Depeche Mode is now just starting to get kind of the due that they were earned. And I know that sounds silly to some people out there, but you hear music experts talk about the shift in music and how the 80s were so synthesizer-oriented.
Heavy, yeah.
And then people got sick of that, and they started to go to, you know, back to guitars, and you had hair metal and that kind of stuff come up.
More clean sounds.
There was bands in between all that sound that were trying to, like, bridge that gap. Mm. And Depeche Mode did this thing, like, we're going to get rid of guitars. We're just going to have synthesizers. And like, nobody had done anything like that. Mm. And it really changed that game, where they were using synthesizers oftentimes as, like, guitars.
Okay.
And it made their music that much more darker in some ways, but also the depth and the layers to it.
Versatility.
Which really added to Dave and the gang's lyrics to that. And so you had this huge... Like the most, the most emo band of all time. Like, and by far and away, Depeche Mode. Not only because of the layers of the different thing, but the game changing that they were. They were rebels with this industry. They were doing something that a lot of people weren't doing, if anybody was doing. And I'm a big fan of, like, The Cure and some other bands of that era and everything. There's nobody that did what Depeche Mode did. There's literally nobody that was doing what they did. And bridging that gap between the synth rock to the guitar rock and traditional stuff and everything, where INXS, Duran Duran, a lot of other bands came and did similar things. They had guitars in their bands.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode had multiple singers, had harmonies and, along with having this synth rock kind of thing. John Corbett is 62 today. Aiden on Sex and the City. Chris, the disc jockey on Northern Exposure. The non-Greek groom in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. John Corbett, good actor. Good actor.
I have to look him up. Oh, yeah, I recognize him.
Tom Preston Peterson is a 73 Cheap Trick bassist and founder of Rock Your Speech, a project that helps autistic kids learn to communicate through music.
That's awesome.
I got to meet this great Rockford native from Cheap Trick. Great guy. Great guy. One of my favorite moments in radio, getting introduced Cheap Trick at the Wisconsin Fest. County Fair. The County Fair, I believe. Cool. I think it was the County Fair in Marshfield that it was at. I'm pretty sure. I was so darn nervous. I was freaking out. I'd never done anything like that in my life. And Panama just tells me like 10 minutes before we're going to go out there. And it's his favorite band in the world. So I just assume he's going to do all the talking. I'm just standing there. He's like, you go ahead and do it. And those guys were so cool to me. They like, calmed me down. I went up there. You would have thought I'd done it a billion times after talking to them and how cool they were and stuff.
Very professional.
And what as great as their music is and as much impact as they've had in that, our Rock Your Speech is gigantic.
Mm.
It is easily the biggest thing Tom has done. And that's saying something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The great, the wonderful, the only, the one and only Billy Joel is 74 today.
74.
Still rock and roll to me. My Life, Tell Her About It, We Didn't Start the Fire, River of Dreams, of course, Piano Man. Go ahead and try right now to run through all of Billy Joel's hits, and you'll miss some.
Oh, well, of course.
You know, it's crazy when you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
How long this guy has been doing. He is still selling out Madison Square Garden once a month. Once a month, he's at least doing this. Like, there's pop artists right now that are selling millions of records that can't do that. Billy Joel still rocking out one of the biggest arenas in the world. It's insane. It's crazy. He does encores. He does like half an hour long encores after. He's 74.
Wow.
And, you know, in case you needed me to tell you this, Billy Joel don't need to be doing this. He's got plenty of money. He's had plenty of fame. He just loves to perform.
He just loves it.
Loves it. I would say Allentown may be my favorite written song of his. He has a song Lullaby that he wrote that I would play and sing to my kids that I think is one of the more beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life.
Sweet.
He's got so many great songs. Mm-hmm. Such a great songwriter. One of those guys, I've asked my mom before, you could see anybody in concert, who would you see? Because I thought she'd say Carole King. That's her favorite musician of all time. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe she's seen Carole King. Billy Joel, without batting an eye, Billy Joel. First name
really?
Out of the room. She did say, because I think at the time Elton John and Billy Joel were touring. Mm-hmm. So she said she'd like to see, you know, it was kind of tied between those two. But that always surprised me. Calvin Murphy is 75, NBA Hall of Famer, incredible athlete. The wonderful, the amazing Candace Bergen is 77.
Aww.
Murphy Brown, also one of the early hosts of Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Candace Bergen's awesome. Gosh, she's something.
Yeah.
You sit back.
Won
and,
five Primetime Emmy Awards and 2 Golden Globes for her portrayal of Murphy Brown.
Iconic show. Iconic show, iconic character.
Wow, 77.
Yeah, she's something. The wonderful, the amazing, the legend, the just one of the more incredible creative human beings of all time. I may be over-exaggerating, but still, James L. Brooks is 83. He is one of the three men who developed The Simpsons, for God's sake.
Oh, okay.
I mean, why does he not have his own day? No, I'm just kidding. I love James L. Brooks, though. He's one of those guys that, for people like me that love to see, you know, behind the scenes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
he does that stuff all the time when it comes to The Simpsons.
That's cool.
He's
been in a lot of movies.
Yes. He also co-created The Mary Tyler Moore Show and Taxi. James L. Brooks has had quite a career. And some people no longer with us, like the great Albert Finney, born in this day in 1936, passed away in 2019. He was a 5-time Oscar nominee. He was in Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts' boss in Aaron Brockovich. He was Dr. Albert in The Bourne Ultimatum. He was in Skyfall, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. He was in great roles in that. One of his main roles, I would say, is from 1974, Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. That movie still holds up. I would encourage people to check it out.
He was also in the original Annie in 1982.
That's right. I think by far and away my favorite role of Albert Finney's, and it's hard for me to say, is Big Fish. He plays the adult version of Ewan McGregor's character.
Mm.
And just thinking of, I think it's one of the most beautiful romantic movies I've ever seen in my life. I just adore that movie. I love it. I saw it in the theater just on a whim and fell in love with it. It's such a good movie.
I've seen the whole thing.
It's so damn good. Billy Kudrup's good in it. Albert Finney. Ewan McGregor is good in every single thing he's ever done.
Well, yes.
It's a great movie. Great movie. A great actor. The great Mike Wallace, born in this day in 1918, passed away in 2012. 60 Minutes legend, journalist legend.
Yes.
Mike Wallace did some amazing work in his career.
Also very nice voice.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
great
voice.
His voice. Oh, yeah. Great voice. One of my favorite segments on 60 Minutes was him and Bernard. Mm-hmm. And like they always seemed to be back to back. And I like that. J.M. Barrie, born in this day in 1860, passed away in 1937. He is the man who wrote Peter Pan.
Aww.
He gets full credit for anyone named Wendy as well. Before he called one of his Peter Pan characters Wendy, no one was giving their daughter that name.
Really?
Yeah. This is one of those little fun random facts that I love that I was talking about earlier. Yeah. Shakespeare had one like this too. I can't think of what the name was, but Shakespeare had a name that nobody had used and he created. And then now it's in pop culture and it's used a billion times. Wendy is the same thing.
That's really fascinating. But it is true that the entertainment industry does influence us to the point of when people name their kids after characters in shows and movies.
And
books.
A lot of people don't know this. I'm named after James Bond. I'm joking. I'm not.
Nice.
We long before James Bond, my family had the name James. But
but there are names that I love because of characters in books.
Yes.
Like the name Claire. Mm. I love the name Claire because she is a character in my favorite book series.
First thing popped in my head, Atticus. I've never
From
met
to
an
Kill
Atticus.
A Mockingbird.
Yes, yes. I've never met an Atticus, but since I was a little kid and read that book, all I've wanted is to play Atticus Finch. I was fortunate to play Sheriff Heck Tate in To Kill a Mockingbird, and I'm very humbled and thankful for that role. It's one of the greatest roles I'll ever play and one of the more important plays I'll ever be in.
Mm-hmm.
But one day I will play Atticus Finch.
Nice.
Even if it is just on like a street corner, like just doing it like with a hat in front of me and like people throwing quarters in or something, I will play that role. I don't care what it takes. And this
I'll hold you to that.
That's That's such an awesome thing to bring up. You're so right about that. I don't think I've thought about it much. But these names that we read in novels or literature and stuff
love the characters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Tiffany Clevin, to Shonda Tibbles Engelbright, and to our qualifier today, Elisa May.
Happy birthday, everyone.
Enjoy. We encourage you to enjoy our friends over at Misty's Menu. Head on over there. Treat yourself. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day and give them a big, big thank you from all of us here at WFHR.
Yes, please do.
I'm going to get to Melissa's news now. We'll come back and have some more fun at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. 8:36 on the clock. Melissa and James here. It ain't over till it's over. Hope you're having a good day out there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Going to get into some fun stuff now. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour with good topics, fun topics. And right now, we're talking a little food.
All right.
Do you love the locally sourced food where you live? Or is your best option for fresh food the Walmart down the road? We're very fortunate in this area. We've got better options than that.
Mm-hmm. A variety of options.
Not to say department stores and things like that can't have good produce or anything. But, you know, I think of farmers markets right away and stuff like that.
Or our family natural food.
It's first thing I think of, yes. And we appreciate all these local places that we have that we're able to get that kind of produce and stuff. Well, a new study ranked the best cities to eat local food, and it considered factors like community-supported agriculture, farm stands and markets, bakeries and butcher shops and seafood markets, plus craft breweries and wineries.
Mm.
And it turns out you haven't lived until you've experienced the local food in Portland, Oregon. Portland is number one, partially because it topped the charts on the number of you-pick farms.
Oh, where you get to go in and pick.
Yeah.
I think most commonly around here, you can do that, find that with strawberries and blueberries for sure.
I've done that.
Have you?
Yeah. When I first moved out here, my nan and papa took me to go pick strawberries.
Nice.
I had a lot of fun doing
that. Oh, yeah. We did that every year. My mom would get pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds of strawberries.
Baltimore is number two. That's kind of interesting.
Baltimore.
Interesting.
Maryland? Oregon? Where is Baltimore?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Maryland. Thank you. Yeah. Wrong coast.
That's all right. That's all right. Another one of both places I've always wanted to visit. Portland and Baltimore.
Oregon, but I've never been to Maryland.
I'm dying to check out Oregon. It's such
cool.
A me place.
They have moss in their trees.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just awesome.
Oh, looks so awesome. I've been to really high up in Northern California, and I really enjoyed that. I did not know how much I would enjoy it. I really love Northern California. There are redwoods everywhere. It's just
cool.
Amazing. It's, you know, you're driving through trees.
That's pretty awesome.
Thousands of years older than you. Stuff. It's just incredible. Beautiful area. So we have Portland, Baltimore, followed by Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh.
Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Minneapolis.
Nice.
Seattle, Boston, Madison, Wisconsin.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Go Madison.
Providence, Rhode Island, and Vancouver, Washington. Not bad. I feel like my mic is really hot today. I don't know if it's just me or if it's... I'm kidding. I'm joking. They consider 200 of the largest cities in the U.S., and the worst for local food was Anchorage, Alaska, which... Not too surprising.
Not a whole lot grows in Alaska.
That doesn't seem fair.
I bet their seafood is amazing.
I was going to say, we'll do the list like that and stuff. And a shout out to our Alaska listeners.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of Alaska listeners that we hear from every once in a while. I hope they're having a good one out there.
Mm-hmm. Tell us your favorite seafood.
Oh, please do. Yeah, great idea. Great idea. But 8 of the bottom 11 were all in Texas.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know necessarily why that is.
Well, Texas is very big.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not saying there's none, but there isn't a whole lot of agriculture in Texas. There isn't. It's not known for that necessarily.
I imagine their beef is probably pretty decent.
That's where I was going to go. Is well, what about that part of it? Just like what we were saying with Anchorage, you know, that there's plenty of reasons for it.
But I do like awesome that Madison hit the top of the list.
Yeah.
And there are so many farm-to-table restaurants in Madison and also in Wisconsin in general, I think, because that is becoming far more popular to source local food.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and not to say that it's necessarily even surprising, but it is pretty cool to see. It is pretty
cool.
Well,
you know,
that
it's going to be fresher because it's not picked before it's ripe, because it doesn't have far to travel, so it's getting to you quicker, fresher, and the chefs being able to work with such, you know, fresh, good, local product.
I would say, too, that we're able to, here in Wisconsin with this, we have the, and every state has some truth to this, but especially in states like California, Wisconsin, where agriculture is such a huge economic part of the whole way this machine works and everything.
And the diversity of what we have available to us.
I love the what we're able to do with this, where we're able to not only get great produce and all those things, but also helping our local ag industry and keep that afloat, keep that going, keep that doing well.
Mm-hmm.
In a perfect world, that they wouldn't need us. Our ag industry would be doing just fine. It wouldn't need, you know, these things and stuff. But it is such a added bonus. And I've talked to many vendors. I've talked to many people that use farmers markets. And it's a godsend oftentimes, where every penny counts. And so many of these farms are being strangled by companies.
Yes.
That hey, you want the newest equipment? All right, we'll give you a deal on it and stuff. You could just take out a loan. Oh, wait a minute, we changed the game in the middle of the game, and now that loan is going to take that farm from you, essentially.
Or it cost you more than you got it for.
Or how about this wonderful one? Where you can buy the equipment, you can buy all these things and stuff, and you can buy the seeds, but what you grow from the seeds, we get. The seeds are yours, but what grows from them is ours. Like, what the what?
Yeah,
like, how does it?
Not right.
There's so many twisted, messed up things that go on when it comes to the ag industry, to our farmers. I don't think it's common knowledge that really should be.
Yeah.
And I think we'd hopefully change some things for that. We will take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll take it to the top of the hour with some fun stuff. Got good things on the way on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. At the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, CBS News comes in, does their thing, and then we'll get into some entertainment news after that. I got some follow-up stories from some stuff that we covered yesterday and a bunch of other stuff to talk about there. Right now, this is an interesting one. TikTok hack for you.
Oh, good.
And these are hit or miss. I think that's
fair
to say.
For those that haven't deleted it off their phone yet.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, I never had it on mine.
Yeah, me neither.
To be fair. But
And to be fair for myself here, I don't need TikTok. Anytime there's anything on there that apparently like it works, you know, that I would want to see, somebody sends it to me.
Well, and it's also available, those videos, on other platforms. I see them a lot on Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm okay with needing it or whatever. I also don't pretend like it's necessarily for me. I don't think that I'm the audience for TikTok. I'm pretty sure they're all right without me having me here and stuff. So I wanted to get into this right here. Again, these are hit or miss.
Okay.
Has anyone tried this and does it really work? Some guy is blowing up on TikTok for a hack that's supposed to get stubborn spaghetti sauce stains out of Tupperware.
Spaghetti sauce stains out of Tupperware. Okay.
He talks about an old video that says to put dish soap, water, and torn up paper towels in there, then shake. But he claims there's one more ingredient that makes a big difference. Before you do all that, rub the inside of the Tupperware with butter.
Okay.
Yeah, he claims it helps because the lycopene in tomato sauce is hydrophobic, meaning it repels water. And the butter somehow helps by getting in between those particles and the plastic.
Okay.
The Tupperware in his video does get pretty clean, but we're not totally sold on it because the stick of butter he uses ends up with sauce on it. So it might be a container he just used.
Fresh sauce.
Yeah, a little switcheroo there. Also, if you've ever tried to wash butter off your hands, you know it repels water too.
Right.
So would it really make a difference?
Yeah, I was just going to say oil repels water, which, I mean, butter, oil, but...
For what it's worth, the makers of Dawn dish soap have a whole page on how to get rid of those stains, and they do mention butter, but their tip is different. They say to rub it around the inside of your Tupperware before you put sauce in, because it acts like a barrier. One of the greatest tips my nan ever told me and stuff, because I used to get frustrated with noodles sticking at the bottom when I make spaghetti or something like that. Put a little salt, a little bit of salt in there before you put the water in. Noodles never stick to the bottom.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Great hack.
That's crazy.
I don't know why, but it's always worked for me. I just put a little bit of salt in there, and then I put the water in, and then I boil it and everything. Then I put my noodles in, and my noodles never stick to the bottom. No lost noodles.
That's weird. Why would that make a difference of just adding the salt to your water?
I don't know. I don't know. It was my Nana's hack, and I just stole it from her. I borrowed it, or whatever you want to say.
I'm going to try that next time, because my noodles stick, but I put salt in the water after there's water in there.
I don't know if it's the process, like, because I put it in first and then put the water in.
Well, it's got to be if it...
I don't know. I'm not a smart enough person to be able to give you answers. I just know it works.
All right. Well, I'll just try it out.
Dawn's tip for removing sauce stains, they say to wash Tupperware like you normally would by hand or in a dishwasher, then set it next to a window and let the sun bleach those stains away.
The sun would do that. It would also kind of, you know, minusculely start to break down your plastic, but that's happening in your hot, you know, dishwasher or microwave or wherever you're putting it anyway, so.
This next story is pretty wild and pretty interesting, and I can't help but look up to this lady a little bit. An emergency kit in your car could help you get stranded somewhere, like with life-saving stuff, first aid, basics, water, non-perishable food, flares. Especially coming out of winter, a lot of people are getting their winter gear out of the car and stuff, don't need that in there anymore.
Scrapers, shovel.
Yeah. Maybe a nice bottle of wine. Wait, what? What? A 48-year-old woman named Lillian was out for a short drive recently when she made a wrong turn, and her vehicle got stuck in the mud within a dense bush.
Oh, my.
She wasn't able to hike out on her own due to health issues, so she had to stay with her car. She only had a few snacks and sweets to eat and no water, but she did have a bottle of wine.
Okay.
Lillian doesn't drink. The wine was a gift she bought for her mom. She ended up being stranded for 5 days.
Whoa.
And she survived on those snacks and that one bottle of wine before she was finally rescued. It was getting pretty dire, though, and she thought she wasn't going to make it. Fortunately, she was discovered, hospitalized for dehydration, and has been released. It's unclear what kind of wine it was, but doctors have said that wine is a big part of what helped save her life.
Wow. That's incredible.
More importantly, make sure to have bottled water in your car. Always drive around with some bottled water in your car. I know it seems silly, but you just never know what can happen. I'm sure she didn't plan on getting stuck.
And then stuck in a place where nobody drove by for five days.
Where does she live?
Right.
Like, what Autobahn? I mean, what Amazon? Like, did she live in that? That happened. Like that. It's pretty hard to imagine that nowadays.
Well, I mean, not so in places like North or South Dakota, Montana.
True.
There's some pretty remote places out there.
Very true.
People are spread far apart.
Very true. I'm trying to think of like where this could even happen.
Australia.
Maybe
some parts of Texas.
Don't have a whole lot on the list there for that one. That's an interesting story though. Now she it sounds like she's not a drinker. Do you become a drinker after that? Like I don't mean like an alcoholic. I just mean like you're always.
But she probably is going to have a fondness for whatever kind of wine that was.
Yeah. Or did it make she like done with wine?
Never again.
Yeah, like after that 5 days, like I'm good. I'm done with that. Well, we go from drinking to more drinking. Continue a little bit of alcohol talk here. You can get the perfect amount of foam in your beer by tilting your glass a little. I think most of us understand that and the basics of it. Maybe you don't understand the science of it, but you get how it works. But obviously, that can be a little bit of work and everything. So a design firm in Japan came up with a solution. They just unveiled a new beer can with two pull tabs instead of one.
Okay.
They're staggered at an angle and supposed to give you the perfect beer to foam ratio every time. I will show Melissa a picture of it when I'm done wrapping up the article here. You pull the one on the left first to open the can part way. Then you pour half of your beer straight into the center of the glass. That leaves you with mostly foam, but then you pull the second tab and pour the rest of the beer in, and you end up with a 7-3 beer foam ratio, what they consider the perfect pour.
Huh.
They say there are two main things that cause too much foam when pouring beer out of a can. That's there's a drop in air pressure inside the can when you open it. And as you pour, the way the beer contacts the opening of the can matters too.
Hmm.
I didn't know that part.
Mm-hmm.
Their new double pull tab addresses both of those things. They posted a video that shows it in action. It doesn't sound like any major beer brands are planning to switch to a double tab yet. So for now, it's just a proof of concept thing. If this even has a little bit of truth to it, I guarantee beer companies will jump on this.
Yeah, probably.
Has anybody noticed the seltzer craze? Like, there's like White Claw came out and it seems like almost like a bug. Where mm-hmm. you see one of these, oh, there's that little ladybug. And then the next day, there's billions of them. Like, oh, White Claw's popular. And then the next day, like, everybody had a seltzer. We have a seltzer. I didn't even know that. Like, we have a seltzer. Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody has one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. We don't have one.
Oh.
But we might as well. Like, everybody's got a seltzer now. It was funny to me, too, because for a while there, like, the big companies were kind of making fun of seltzers. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they had one.
But, yeah. Well, because they were calling them, like, girly drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's like, wait, hold on a second. These are actually tasty, and they don't have as many calories, and, you know, it caught on real quick.
Well, and money.
Yes.
They saw a whole new way. Like, you have a company, you have your beer that's your standard beer, and then you come up with a light beer. Yeah,
right.
And that's great. But then, okay, what else are we going to do? How else are we going to make more money? How are we going to market more things?
Mm-hmm.
Well, coming up with different beer flavors and stuff, that's a big one. A lot of people do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also the marketing, the label change, the things like that. And you got to be careful. You have to be smart about those things because you can. I will introduce you to Clear Pepsi.
I miss Clear Pepsi.
The millions and millions that were lost on that idea.
So it
can be hit or miss.
I thought it was cool.
I don't think clear soda is a bad idea. I just find it hilarious how they didn't change the flavor. They didn't change anything other than the look
color.
Of
color.
Yeah, but
and that was enough to just. Yeah, not go anywhere.
New Coke, another one, where all they did was change like a kind of little bit of things of the flavor of the traditional Coca-Cola, and people lost their dang minds.
Mm.
So
don't mess with my Coke.
Yeah, yeah. Just as examples, I mean, you could tinker with this stuff. You just got to be smart about it.
Right.
Now, with something like this, you're not even worrying about the flavor. You're not even messing with the ingredients. You're just messing with the label, with the
Well,
the
and
container.
A lot of people, if they don't pour a can of beer all the time, it does, you don't have the practice to know, and different kinds of beer are different in how you need to pour them. That's an interesting looking cap. It's almost like a two in the same spot.
Yeah, I'm showing it to Melissa right now. I like how they have them labeled too, one and two, like so you know which ones to.
I can't see that from here.
Okay, yeah, they have them labeled one and two, so you know which ones to go to first.
Is one the like normal looking tab?
No, one is the first tab. This one's one. This one's two.
Oh, okay.
So the one
so
that's
the
pulled
one you,
already.
The one that's like more shaped like a square.
Yeah, think of rabbit ears a little bit, and that's kind of how it looks like on the can.
Yeah, because they both go to the same opening.
When you open a can, do you tilt the tab or pull it off or anything like that?
Sometimes. Okay. I don't do it all the same.
It's
every
instinct
time.
To me. I have to turn it because I got a big nose.
Oh.
I got a big nose, and my nose has always hit that tab my whole life. That my nose. So with two tabs, I really got no luck.
You'd have a really hard time. You'd have to actually remove them then.
Yeah,
which can leave a kind of a dangerous little
The little jagged thing, which has also got my nose before.
Mm.
It's not as bad as my dad. My dad's got a much bigger nose than I got, but it's still a problem.
I don't drink out of a can all that often, but if I'm in a group setting, I might turn it some which way just to know that that one's mine.
Certain things I like in a can. I noticed this, so I rambled about it before and everything. I gave up soda about a month and a half ago. I haven't had a soda since. I felt really good about that.
Nice.
But like a week or so ago, it occurred to me, wait a minute, I love Barks Root Beer. Like, that's my favorite root beer in the world. Like, I especially as summer comes around, man, you have a cold one of those. I love it. I love the bite of it and everything. So one of my favorite drinks. And I'm like, I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to lose that. So then it became, first it was like, well, I want to prove to myself I can give this up. Now it's a point of like rebelling against my own willpower. Like, well, but come on. I mean, because I'm such a rebel, I rebel against my own like beliefs sometimes and everything. This is not healthy. I'm not a well man.
But also, I mean, if you cut out all soda, one here and there is not going to hurt you.
And I had a Barks last night, and I swear you would have thought I was drinking Dom Perignon. I'm like, I'm putting it under my tongue. Is this from 1918? Is that a Barks from 1918? I believe it's. It was so good. I felt like such a little kid. It was great.
Nice.
But even with that, with the tab, I had to turn it. With something like this, my nose is going to get clogged up right away.
Well, good thing it's in Japan.
Yeah, do you think this is something that actually could catch on in America?
Maybe.
I think if it
goes big there, probably.
I don't think it's not worth a try. You know, go ahead and run it out there.
I just think, how much would it cost?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they'd have to change. Obviously, it's a different way that the can is made.
Manufacturers right now are screaming at them. They're like, no, don't tell them to try it. It's a horrible idea. But I, again, the answers to all your questions, whether we like it or not, money.
They make money on it?
Yeah. Is the cost, spending worth it and everything? And we'll see. It'd be interesting. We got to answer. We got to go to that dog. I got to go pet that dog. Ashley brought her dog, and I got to go pet that dog. So we'll go ahead and let CBS News do their thing. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.